Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning we read in the baptismal office the final words of Jesus found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, a passage which is commonly known as the Great Commission. Having been raised from the dead and preparing to ascend into heaven, Jesus leaves some final instructions for his apostles and by extension for his church throughout the ages. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." As I thought about this commission in light of our gospel lesson for today, I think I discovered two interesting parallels. First, this command to go and make disciples of the nations actually echoes the command given by the king unto the servants in Jesus' parable. In that parable, the kingdom of God is imagined as a royal wedding feast. And when the first group of invited guests offers a series of lame excuses and refuse to come to the feast, the king commands his servants, saying, "Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. If you listen closely to the commission given in both texts, you will see how they are parallel. In the Great Commission, Jesus is commanding his apostles to invite the nations to become his followers. And in the parable, the servants are going on behalf of God the King, inviting everyone to come to the wedding feast of his Son. In both instances, we see the universal invitation going out, inviting all to come to the kingdom of God. The gospel is for all people. Whosoever will may come. This commission is central to the church's ministry. Since the Great Commission contains the final words of Jesus to his followers before his ascension, surely it is of great significance. The church in every age is called to go and make disciples. We are to call people from every nation, tribe, and tongue to come and embrace Jesus Christ as their Savior. And this invitation is tantamount to inviting someone to a royal wedding feast. This feast, of course, has two phases, if you will. The first encompasses our worship as we come on the Lord's day to the Lord's house to hear the Lord's word, to be fed at the Lord's table. The Eucharist is the rehearsal dinner which precedes the wedding banquet. The second phase of this feast will be when our Lord Jesus returns in glory and ushers us to the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is envisioned in the Revelation of St. John. In fact, the invitation to the ongoing feast now is intended to serve as preparation for the ultimate feast which is to come. The church is commissioned by Christ to go out into the highways and byways to invite people to come to the feast, to invite people to follow Jesus Christ. This commission is central to who we are. And there are people all around us who will answer that call. Like Tony, they will come if we will be faithful to invite them. But there's a second parallel between these two passages. In Jesus' parable, there is the strange scene where the master of the house finds one of the guests who does not have on the wedding garment. When he was asked about it, he was speechless, and ultimately he was thrown out of the wedding feast. This begs the question as to what this wedding garment represents. It is here that I think our parallel text can help. When Jesus commissions his apostles to go and make disciples, there are two components of making disciples: baptizing and teaching. It is interesting that there are several places in Scripture where baptism is explained as putting on Christ as one puts on clothing. One of the more prominent examples is in St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians, where he says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Here we see a clear parallel between being baptized and being clothed in Christ. What that means, of course, is to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. In the early church, this was acted out with great clarity as the one who came to be baptized would take off his old clothes and enter into the baptismal font. Tony may be glad we don't do that anymore. Having been baptized, he would come up from the water and would immediately be given a white robe symbolizing his newfound purity of being joined with Jesus Christ. Surely, this would be associated with this wedding garment. But there is another text which indicates that there is more to this. In the book of Revelation, where St. John is given the image of the marriage supper of the Lamb, the people of God are envisioned as a bride adorned for her husband. She was arrayed, it says, in fine linen, clean and white. And then the explanation given is that the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. What exactly would make up the righteousness of the saints? Jesus said in the Great Commission that making disciples consisted of baptizing them in the name of the triune God and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. If we do what Christ commands, we will be clothed with the righteousness of the saints. St. Augustine, in fact, simplified this even further by saying that the wedding garment is love, which is the ultimate commandment. So the wedding garment, which is needed to enter the royal wedding feast, consists of the righteousness of Christ given to us at baptism and of the righteous acts which we perform through the empowering grace of the Holy Spirit throughout our lives. Clothed with Christ and clothed with love, we enter the feast. So we see that the sum of the church's call is to summon all people to come to the kingdom of God, which is likened to a royal wedding feast. And we are to prepare them for entering this feast by baptizing them and teaching them to walk in Christ's commandments. This is our calling. May God give us grace to fulfill that calling. May we invite many to come so that the banquet hall might be filled. And may we be clothed with Christ and clothed with love, that we might truly enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb for all eternity. Amen. And now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."